tuned in to WPVMLP Asheville 103.7 on your FM radio and streaming at WPVMFM.org.
Listening to WPVMLP 103.7 on the dial in Asheville, North Carolina, and globally at radioasheville.org. Real people, real voices. I'm your host, Charlotte, and welcome to the Magpie, bringing you a jumble of shiny songs and stories to add to your collection. Psychics and mediums. Many images come to mind. A candlelit table, silks and lace, an older woman with wrinkled hands and purple nails pulling your future from a crystal ball. But the real world of spiritualism is just as fascinating. Finding methods to communicate with the dead is almost as old as man itself. Spanning across thousands of cultures, the idea of the afterlife and the pounding curiosity of humanity has created many rich spiritual practices. Mediumship in the United States as we know it today arose in the mid-19th century. In the midst of the Industrial Revolution, Victorians were fascinated with the occult. And in 1848, the Fox Sisters of Hadesville, New York began to establish spiritualism as a religion. The two younger sisters, Maggie and Kate, attempted to communicate with the spirits in their home through a series of knocking and tapping. After being picked up by the New York Tribune, the practice spread like wildfire. This birthed the image of the seance table that you may think of today. The practice donned the harbors of Britain in 1852 through the talents of Maria B. Hayden, following a similar method. Even Queen Victoria and Prince Albert were early participants of the new spiritualism movement. Through the centuries, these types of seances have fallen out of fashion and mediumship has sprung a new leaf. Today, we will be hearing from two psychic mediums from our very own Western North Carolina, Alex Moody and Anthony Mikuljeski, as they open up about their experiences working and living amongst the spirit world. The idea of a psychic medium is certainly controversial in today's world, though I hope you'll be able to sit back and listen to their stories with an open mind. Our first guest is the Moody medium, although she is anything but. Enjoy! Thank you for joining me. So,
yes.
How would you describe a psychic medium, and what's the difference between that and a regular medium?
Oh my gosh. Diving right in. I love it. So, the saying always goes like, not all psychics are mediums, but all mediums are psychics. So like you can have someone who's, and I'm terrible with remembering names and things like this, but there's a guy who does, he's like only a psychic. He does, you know, predictions, and he actually does almost like a comedy thing where he goes around and, well, reads people's minds for a living. So that's like a little bit more of the psychic piece of things, where the mediumship would be talking to past loved ones, ancestors, things like that. But like psychics can also talk to guides, angels, depending on the kind of reader they are. Every reader is different for sure. When it comes to that, I always joke around that I'm never predicting the future, which is always funny because people are like, wait, what? Isn't that the term of psychic? But the main one, a few of the main, I would say, ethics I live by is like not overriding free will, right? So we're working with people deeply in a lot of questions they have about their lives or like ancestry. Sometimes we go into, you know, I have clients who find out their dad or their mom are not their bio parents on ancestry.com, something like that. And we can like go into the lineage.
Interesting. So what type of processes do you go through when conducting a reading?
Yes. Yeah. So I do readings. So I do a nervous system body work. The reason I bring that up, it's called orthobionomy. It's like named really terribly, but it was the 80s. I think he was trying to sound kind of a little more scientific in that way. It is all about like nervous system. I work with clients with like PTSD, things like that, as well as like acute trauma, you know, sprained ankle, something like that. And so I do that both in person and remote, but learning that, I was able to regulate my own nervous system so that I could offer my gifts. So I'm visual. So I actually am definitely neurodivergent too, obviously. So I have my eyes closed throughout the reading. I'm visual and I feel things, but I do feel we all have all of the clairs, right? Like when it comes to listening to my guides, they're a voice. So I mean, I see them and interact with them, but we're working with a little bit with that in connection to questions about their lives, things like this. I animal communicate, so we can go into that, you know. And yeah. So we're bringing in like all of the support. And that's what, you know, my process was getting support in my system so that I could feel like I could offer my gifts. I grew up in a haunted house. So like not that I didn't want to be a medium, but it always felt scarier to me than when I did step into my gifts and I was like, oh my gosh, I should have been doing this forever. I'm such an idiot. You know, like when we finally all step into our gifts, we're like, oh, duh. Yeah, it's like the easiest thing ever, but for me was a longer process. So I do a little bit of both of those things where I do the orthobiognomy and then I mainly work remote with readings. So I have probably, I would say like 30% of my clients are Ashevillians or local to Western North Carolina, and then the rest are elsewhere.
Okay. Yeah. Could we circle back to ortho? What was it? Ortho?
Orthobiognomy. So the etymology breaks down to like the correct application of life, kind of like that, meaning more so our ability to self-correct. So if we're given the support and the tools and the resources to look at ourselves, we are able to then respond and self-correct. So we put the system in a regulatory space of like what's working, we go with what is. A good example of this is if someone has a psoas issue in their back or in their, you know, well, psoas covers a lot of places, and they're kind of hunched over, we would actually go with that energy to come out of it rather than stretch the psoas like, oh, it's shortened, we got to stretch it. We go with the energy. And so a lot of, a lot of my clients, I'll say I run a spiral of protection at the beginning of reading, and that's orthobiognomy. Like that's kind of creating the container for what wants to come in to come in. And then of course, I always check with the client, make sure, you know, they're comfortable with everything that we both talk about as well. You know, I have clients who I work with pre and post surgery, things like that, where they're not in my office or they went and got a surgery somewhere else. And so then we work remote.
Yeah. So when you do your readings, what kind of sensations do you experience? I read there's a difference between physical and mental mediumship. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
There is, yeah. More of a trance or physical medium is going to more so, although there are trance mediums that they're not as popular anymore, I feel like, but I could be wrong about that, where they literally become the spirit. They'll talk like them. They don't remember what's happening. Their body is, and there is quote, taken over. I am not a trance medium. I'm definitely a mental medium. Physical mediumship to me is like holding physical objects. I don't need to hold physical objects. Or like if I do a reading for a client who wants to buy a house, I don't need, honestly, I don't even need the street number. I just can just feel it from the client, but I just need like to kind of, I can dial into that house from the comfort of, I live in Swan and Ella, like from the comfort of my living room. That's more the mental mediumship, which is like crown chakra, a little bit more third eye, connecting in. And then I feel things because too, like, it's not, I feel like it's like such a trigger word, but I am an empath. But I, with good boundaries, I work with clients to like all feel things. So a good example of this is I actually, when it comes to spirits passing, their name is how I connect. Unlike old school mediums who would be like, is their name John? I'm seeing a John and, yeah, you know, or J name. I'm just like, what's their name? And or what'd you call them? Definitely never need a last name. And then I can connect in. Same with people in the physical world. So if I have a past loved one who's, let's say, and I don't know this, they passed of, let's say lung cancer, I'll be like, whoo, I can really like, I feel it in my lungs, or I'll feel like a certain feeling of a medication. And then I'll know they were in a hospital or something. And I just talk about it. And then the client can share what they want to share. Some clients will be like, oh my gosh, yep, that's my uncle, blah, blah, blah. And he passed of lung cancer. But, you know, other times they're like, yep, I know who you're talking about, you know, so.
Yeah, because of these gifts, what's your impression of how spirits reside and connect to our world?
Yeah, all kinds of ways. I mean, of course, you know, as a professional psychic medium, of course, I'm going to be like, we need to be more spiritual as a world, right? Like, that's going to be my spiritual soapbox, as I call it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do feel like for a lot of people, you know, we can intertwine spirit. Like, I'm a big fan of working with past lives as a resource for your current life, rather than like, what lesson are we learning? Like, how to integrate things into your world, or maybe there's like some ancestral trauma or something like that, that you're wanting to release, and you can work with a healthy ancestor around that. And then for spirits, you know, when I'm doing readings, we're bringing them down more to what we would call like the energy body or the energy level, while we go up to the energy level. So spirits are more like themselves. And that way we know they're them. They're more like their personality. Because sometimes clients will be like, have they evolved at all? Like, this is them. And I'm like, well, we want to know it's them. And then, yeah, you do get a higher perspective. But if we go up in the frequency, that's where their soul space is. And that's like bliss, unconditional love, things like that, that are, I don't have messages for you there. It's a lovely feeling. You know, it's cool because we can kind of integrate all of these pieces of peace, unconditional love, by working with spirit, and not at all in a spiritually bypassy way, more so in a way to integrate our human, you know, so that we can live a really quality life. I always feel like people who don't believe in psychic mediumship or spiritual things or spirits or ghosts, anything like that, which I could talk about the difference between spirits and ghosts too. You know, there's just this sense of like, everything here is, and everything you see is what exists. So there's just not, to me, as rich of a world for them. It's like a whole world that's not integrated into their system. And that's okay. That's their path. I'm a big fan. I'm like, whenever I talk to people who don't believe in what I do, or who are kind of like, oh, you do that kind of work, I'll hear that, which is totally fine. Then, you know, I'll say like, you know, you just resource differently than I do. Like, you may resource mentally more, or think about like someone who isn't really resourcing or connecting to themselves emotionally. Then typically they're really taxed mentally, or they work, and are really connected to the physical world. There isn't a balance of the, you know, spirit, physical, mental, emotional.
Yeah. So you mentioned that, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You mentioned that you grew up in a haunted house.
I did, yeah.
How did that like occur? And like, when did you start realizing or experiencing your gifts, your practice?
Yeah. So I, my dad actually still lives there. We transitioned my mom. My mom has dementia. So we transitioned her to memory care last March. So I say dad's house now, which is really weird, but it just helps me keep track of things. So he does still live there. Now, the rest of my family, I have older brother, older sister, do not experience phenomena. My husband has, and some of my nephews and niece have, well, one in particular has. So, so I joke around, like, not that my house wasn't haunted, but I'm like, was it haunted, or am I like a medium, as a joke? Because I did get visited by several things. I would run and sleep on my parents' floor. And it was the stereotypical example of like, it's all in your imagination, Alex, just go back to sleep, like stuff like that. But I do, you know, I'm about to be 44, and I do still experience phenomenon when I go back there. It's not like poltergeist, but it is like, you know, there was one Christmas where I was like basically being talked to by one. I was like 32. I was, you know, it was a while ago. And I describe him to my mom, and I'm like, listen, like, can we just talk about this? Is this, you know, can we look up? Because my house that I grew up in, you know, from age 0 to 4, I lived in the DC area in Capitol Hill. And then we moved to this area called Leesburg, Virginia, which is a Civil War battleground. There's like kind of known for it being haunted. When we moved there, there was just like, I could kind of just immediately feel things going on with that as well.
With these hauntings and everything, how did others react when you did you start talking about this pretty immediately, or?
Yeah, well, it's so funny. You know, the 90s were a weird time. You know, like, yes and no. Like, we would talk about it. I mean, even now, even before, you know, my mom does still have her memory intact in terms of knowing who we are. But even now, my parents are kind of like, okay, so you do that body work thing. And I taught yoga forever. So they're like, you teach yoga. I think it's challenging for them to be like, our daughter is a professional psychic medium a little bit, because my dad's a retired engineer, you know, like a much more practical in that way. But I do get my gifts from both lineages. I'm very, very Scottish. So mom and dad's side, like both sides. So, you know, it's weird because especially on my mom's side's a little more covert Midwestern. My dad's side's New England. So they would talk about this stuff. And my dad's a really vivid dreamer, but he'll be like, but that's not real. Dreams aren't real. Right. So there's like also the engagement of it, you know, of what, how people engage with these pieces in their world as well, too. Cause you know, sometimes it's a little scary. Whenever I see a spirit, like I checked with a house a few years ago for a client and this spirit, I didn't know this. She had looked up the history, explained what I saw. And I was like, this is really weird. And after the reading, the spirit, like kind of, I call it Beetlejuice or like poltergeist effect, like pulled her eyes out, like tried to scare me. And I was in my own house, but because I grew up in a haunted house, I was like, hi, it didn't scare me, which is like a lot of growth there. Cause it scared me a lot as a kid. I'm like, hey, can you show me another side of you is what I always say. And sometimes spirits get real weird because think about it. Scaring us is a really great way to get attention. Think about humans. If you scare someone, they're like, oh, I mean, they're present right away, you know? And so spirits will do the same thing to get our attention. And so then I'll say, you know, show me, you know, and then she showed me a really sad part. There was something very sad that happened in that house, the loss of a child. You know, I said, I was like, hey, you know, I'm just going to like hold the energy for you to let go of this. Right. And some mediums will be like, create a portal, do all these things. I hold the energy for that part of her to be healed because I feel too, like she's transitioned soul wise. It's this consciousness that's stuck on earth.
So with the like ability to sense these things, the ability to clear energy and everything, do you think this is something people are innately born with or something that you can develop over time intentionally?
Yes, there's a few different. Yes, there's definitely mediums by birth, I think is what it's called. So there are mediums by birth and then there are mediums by training. There are mediumship schools, psychic mediumship schools as well that people will go to. I did not go to school. I worked with a few psychic mediums to develop my gifts. And then with the orthobiony training and yoga therapeutics, that was all the like space holding. Actually, I have a master's degree in education. So I did a lot of, I was a career counselor for a long time. So I did a lot of therapy counseling classes in that master's. So, cause it's a lot about listening, a lot about listening, to people as well and to spirits. So, and then you have ones that train and work to connect in. Everybody has gifts too. I should have really started there. Everybody has gifts. It is not like you have a gift. You don't like ever. We all have gifts. That's actually a really cool part. One of my favorite part about readings is like, we can go into people's inherent gifts. And most of the time, because they're inherent, people don't realize like, oh, that's a gift or, oh, not everybody sees the world like that. I'm like, no. So it's cool because you can develop 100%. I always call it right relationship, which is the body work I do. One of the principles of like, you can develop right relationship with your higher self. I would say start with the higher self. That's like our filter for our information. And then it's not like, okay, I've got 10 guides. Where are they? Right. It's like, we can filter the information through. And that's where like signs and symbols comes in. People love to talk about signs and symbols when it comes to mediumship. I find spirits have lots of different ways of connecting with us. Yes. Signs and symbols, but also of course, dreams or more paranormal. They flicker the lights, they move things, or they have more of a sense of like mischievous energy. They'll like, you know, change things up, or they're a feeling, they're a presence, right? Where we have to kind of sit with that energy and talk to it that way.
What would you describe a spirit guide as?
Yeah. So everybody has spirit guides. And now there are a lot of different philosophies about this too. Some believe we have one primary spirit guide. I'll see one guide that works with us that you don't really need to name. They work through us. That's what I would equate to the main spirit guide. They can work with practitioners. Like let's say you get a massage, they can work through the practitioner to intuitively help heal you. They're like your compass, your roadmap. They can be really helpful. An analogy I use, which I'm not a runner. I play tennis, so I run for a tennis ball and that's about it. But Is if you're running a marathon, would you just run barefoot naked through the streets of Chicago? No, like you would have the right shoes, the right outfit, gel packs. You have the people who hold the signs. You have the water stations. You have all the support of the people, of everyone. That's like your guides. They're like, you need a glass of water? Let's get you a glass of water, right? They want to support you in like your highest purpose in life. And so it can sometimes be similar to me, like where they're clairaudient, where I hear a voice and I like talk to them. But then every once in a while, they'll like single themselves out. So I have like a pretty Celtic guide that I work with. Then I have like an astrology guide because I love astrology. So he helps me channel more astrology, things like that. And then, you know, like I have a, this always creeps people out, but I have like a more like bodily guide that works with my body. And sometimes like they'll like infuse my body with a lot of energy, things like that. So, and then of course I have specific guides for spirituality and mediumship that help me, of course, connect with the other side. So they're typically tied to our gifts as well.
Yeah. So you've mentioned clairaudience, clairvoyance. What are the clairs?
Clairvoyant would be like clear knowing, clear seeing, like being able to, it's a little bit what I do. That would be probably more connected to like the third eye, seeing into the future, right? And we're, it's all about how we organize the information. So a clairaudient is going to organize the information via hearing things. So it's like, okay, like I heard this. And sometimes it's like you hear something and it's like, I don't know what that sentence means. And so I basically organize the information. The first question I always ask my guides is like, is this for a client or is this for me? Because then I can kind of know where to put that information. And then it may come up in a reading that day or later that week, something like that. So I have the information readily available. And this is what happens too with how we take in the information with the different. So let's see, I get a visual, right? I see something. Clairvoyant was the seeing. Clear knowing would be like, I felt it. I know this to be true. Like, it's like more of this like gut feeling that definitely everybody has. When people are like, I just had this weird feeling. So I didn't go, I drove a different way home, you know? And then they found out there was like an accident on the other road they were on, right? And so that would be like more of like this clear knowing. And we all have a little bit of this because it's up to us to understand the information. It's up to us to participate in that. Spirit is always going to be like leaving it on the table for us to pick up. It's never going to be like, hey, you've got to work on this. You know, we do have guardian angel energy. That's the only time that they can really like kind of take over our free will. You know, like a few years ago, I got hit by a drunk driver on a red light. It was a hit and run. So there's a lot of drama, I will say, attached to it. But as I was driving, I was the third car in row, and it was like right on Hendersonville Road, kind of near, a little bit near the Cinemark there, or the theater, the apartment complex right across from there. Like the light turned green. I was like, oh, I want to make this light. And I just heard, hey, slow down, slow down. And so I pumped my brakes. And that day we had a Versa and a Bronco. And I insisted, my husband and I switch cars a lot. I insisted on having the Bronco. I wasn't even supposed to be at that light when I was, or some rescheduling, and I get hit, and he hits me within an inch of like T-boning me. So he just ripped the whole engine off of. And so even the guy at the junkyard the next day was like, well, your wife had some guardian angels with you. So I did some EMDR. I did some work on it, of course, because I had some PTSD. And I could see this angel, this guardian angel standing right there. Now, I also heard that voice, and I know, I was like, okay, I'm going to listen to this voice. And had I not slowed down, he would have probably either killed me or himself, or very seriously injured me. And in that too, even then, I had people that were like, you're psychic. Didn't you know you were going to get hit? And it was so funny. I was like, well, I was extremely anxious all day. I knew something was coming.
How do you deal with skepticism and the public reaction surrounding your work?
Yeah, I have, I joke around, I have two skeptics a year. The reading is always a little tougher. It's kind of like going, I do a compare. It's like going on a date and you're asking all the questions. There's no energy there. Majority of my clients are very into this stuff, very into receiving messages. I try to stay away from words open and closed because there are skeptics of this work that are very open in other aspects of their life. So it's not even like, well, you got to open up to it. It's more oftentimes people have to experience it in order to believe in it. And that's pretty typical of humans. There'll be people who experience things and then are like, okay, now I'm a believer, right? But they don't integrate it more into their lives. I will 100% never debate, especially in my life, if I'm just like hanging out with friends, I would never debate someone if what I do is real or not, because, you know, I'm like, I'm not going to convince you, you that something is real that you don't think is real. Like, you're, that's cool. That's your belief. I went and saw John Edward in Knoxville, Tennessee, and he spent like 20 minutes on this family whose dad had passed of colon cancer. And I was sitting there like, I could see it. I was like, he's right there. 20 minutes on these people. And they go, oh my God, he did pass of that. And they like freak out. And I'm sitting here and it's a whole audience. And I'm like, why did we just waste all this time on them? Oh, like, I don't know. That's how, that was just my perspective of it. Like, I was like, we could have gotten into like amazing messages from him, or like had them been able to feel the energy of their loved ones. Like, I want people, like I have a, I use this as an example. I get her permission for it too, of course. Her son passed several years ago and she's local. She and I do readings on certain times of the year and we connect in with him. He's like a riot. We're almost like friends now. Yeah. And she records it. And then she says, when I listen back to it, she goes, it's like I'm texting with my son again.
Listening to The Magpie at 103.7 on the dial. I'm your host Charlotte, and that was psychic medium Alex Moody. If you would like to find out more information about her, you can visit her site at themoodymedium.com. I would now like to welcome our next guest, Anthony Mikuljeski, who has earned the title of the Asheville Medium. I know you will appreciate his vivid storytelling just as much as I did. Enjoy!
My name is Anthony Mikuljeski, and I go as the Asheville Medium. And I've been here in Asheville for, since 2003. So I've been here for a while. And I used to live in Asheville, and now I live outside of Asheville. And so I'm a working professional medium full-time. And thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining me. So you were saying, what is the difference between a psychic and a medium?
Well, they are completely different. Being a psychic, you actually are expanding your energetic field or your auric field, and you're gently blending with the auric field or the energetic field of the person in front of you. And you're able to, see different insights. We as psychics, we work with our clairs, which is like our clairvoyance, our clairsentience, clairaudience, and there's many others, all the clairs. And basically what you're doing is you're sensing and getting visions, and you're getting audio, and you're getting sensations that you are getting from the client. And so when you're reading for someone psychically or mediumistically, it's like a sign language. Okay. And you can actually tap into someone's spirit guides, you know, like we all have one major spirit guide that comes to us when we incarnate into this world. And then we have other, and that would be like the principal. And then we have other teachers that come through the course of life. In and out of our life, once we've learned the lessons, then they step back and somebody else comes forward. And that teaches us more lessons. So, you know, when I'm blending psychically, I'm gently blending into the auric field. I'm able to see where you've been in the past, like your upbringing, your education. Maybe there has been some family traumas and things, because when we work with the public, most of the time we do get some serious issues, mm-hmm. Or traumatic issues that we have to address in the reading. But we also get the love, the healing, and the laughter, and the wonderful experiences we get from our life. And that comes through in the psychic reading. So it will bring me up to what is going on with you currently, because a lot of your past has to do with who you are today. Your spirit guide will communicate with me during that time and give me a series of things that are going on. And then as we move forward, you know, I'll be listening and tuning in to see what's being presented to you, what opportunities are coming towards for your future, you know? And I know that sounds kind of corny when we talk about the past, the present, and the future, but that's really what psychic is. You know, it has to deal with your life presently. Versus mediumship, it's a different energy. When I'm gently in psychic, as I'm blending my energetic auric field forward towards the client, in mediumship, I would project that energy towards where I work with spirit, which is more upward, gently blending my energy forward towards more upwards. And that's communicating with the spirit world. And those in the spirit world would be people who have lived here physically on Earth, okay. who have transitioned to the spirit world or heaven, however you perceive that. And I will communicate with them. I will ask, tell me about your lives. You know, tell me how you passed. Tell me about your personality. Tell me about, you know, your traits. Tell me what your hobbies and what you did for a living. Tell me about your experiences that you shared with your loved one while you were here. And that is the evidence to prove who this person is. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't, when a client comes to me for an appointment, I don't allow them to tell me any information about themselves. I just ask them to say yes, answer to yes, no, maybe, or I don't know. This way, this allows me to get all the information from spirit or working with you psychically without you guiding me with, you know, too much information. It makes the reading more valid. It also keeps the client from remembering what they said and what I said. I know people want to participate in a reading, but I think it's so important to allow the person that you're going to have the service with work for it. Mm-hmm. Meaning go to spirit and work harder for it. Get the information there because it's all there. When you're communicating with people in spirit and you're doing mediumship, mediumship's all about healing, comfort and healing. So you're providing, you may provide closure to that client. Maybe they didn't get a chance to say goodbye, or maybe there were hard feelings before they left. The spirit world will tell me that particular person will tell me. This will bring closure and forgiveness and being able to move forward in your life to give you a much more beautiful outlook, to know that that's been closed, that chapter's been closed, and we're all good, everything's good with us, and now I can move more happily in my life, meaning the client. We may provide those loving experiences too. I mean, there could be someone who was just the most perfect person you can possibly imagine, and you're devastated ever since they've passed. And you think of them every day, and you wonder, you know, is grandma or, you know, is my mother or my grandmother or my great grandmother, are they really sending me these signs and communication? They will tell me the experiences or the signs that they have been giving the client without the client telling me, you see. And that's the confirmation that the spirit world is still so much part of our lives, not only in the past, but right now, currently.
Wonderful.
Isn't that cool?
It's so beautiful. Yeah. Really.
It really is. It's a very magical, and I say magical because it is really very special and sacred to me, you know.
So you are a past life regressionist as well. Is that true?
I am. I am certified in that as well. That's correct.
So my question is, if you're able to communicate, and I'm not trying to disprove anything, but if you're able to communicate with spirits, in the spirit realm, how does that translate to past lives? Does spirits split? How does that work?
Great question. Yes, it does split. Your soul, we've been told through so many different religions, depending on what religion you believe in. By the way, they're all there in the spirit world. There's no special place for everybody because of them being either Jewish or Christian or, Hindu. They're all there in the same arena. There are different spheres of the spirit world. So depending on, if you were a serial killer, you'd be in a certain sphere of the spirit world, that you would be amongst the same type of people, and you would be learning lessons in the spirit world about what you did. Okay. So there's different spheres for different evolved souls and souls that have learned specific lessons while they were here on the planet Earth. And this is our school, by the way. This is not our home. That is our home, meaning the spirit world. Okay. So let me explain. For example, you see this crystal right here. Yeah. Say this is our soul. Okay. And if I was to drop this crystal on the floor, the shards of this crystal would separate into possibly, 40 to 50 to maybe 100 different shards on the floor. Those shards are a lifetime that is only part of our soul.
Okay.
Okay, so you can have you can have several lifetimes happening at the same time, but us as humans have not been given that information when we're here, because it would be just too overwhelming for us, right? Yeah. At least that's what's been told to me, and that's what I have learned from, tutors that do this professionally around the world. So we've been told by so many religions we're multidimensional beings, or we're multidimensional, and our soul is part of that dimension. So we can have several lives happening simultaneously, and we can have lives happening even though this particular lifetime, we remember grandma being in the spirit world, she's going to present herself. That part of her soul is going to present herself so you could recognize her currently and know that we're communicating with your grandmother because of the evidence I'm bringing forward. But her soul is also multitasking at the same time. Isn't that interesting?
It is interesting, yes.
Yeah. So that's a very good question. So when people have past lives, they are learning lessons. That's why sometimes you'll see people that will go through life and repeat the same lesson over and over and over again, and maybe never learn it, or maybe finally do. They might learn it at the end, right? Mm-hmm. And so that might have been their most important lesson through their whole life of being here in this particular lifetime, and that particular part of the soul experiencing this lesson.
Okay. Wow.
Does that make sense?
So you mentioned that you've studied under tutors, and on your website, you have a very long list of credentials. Do you mind if I ask you about a couple of them?
Sure.
Yeah. So you studied at Arthur Findlay College,
That's correct.
And that is a college for the advancement of spiritualism and psychic sciences. What was your experience studying at this institution? I think this is quite an experience not many people have had.
Well, thank you. It's a prestigious college. It specifically specializes in psychic science, physics, and mediumship. And really what we're doing is we're working with energy. So everything that we do as psychics and mediums are working with energy. Okay. We are all energy, right? Mm-hmm. This computer's energy, this table's energy. My dog is energy. The mm-hmm. plants are energy. The trees are energy. You know, the earth that we live on is a breathing organism. Mm-hmm. So they cover different classes there at Arthur Findlay College. It's in Stansted, England. Mm-hmm. I have had the opportunity to study with quite a few tutors there, and they specifically teach different variations of psychic and mediumship there at the college. And that's for beginners, intermediate, advanced. I studied platform mediumship there, which is an advanced mediumship course. And that is when you get in front of audiences on stage and you demonstrate mediumship, where you bring in someone from the spirit world and you describe them, bring the evidence forward, a lot of evidence forward.
Yeah.
And you'll get a few raising of hands in the audience. And I will ask them, do you understand all this information about mm-hmm. this person and their personality, their traits, their appearance, how they passed, experiences that you shared together. So it's not just generic. Mm-hmm. It's very specific about experiences they shared. And you have to do this within 5 minutes to bring this evidence in. And once you get somebody's hand up, you know, you may have a couple, you'll ask them, how does this resonate with you? And they'll say, well, I can take, 80% of that. And the other person will say, I can take all of it. Mm-hmm. I says, okay, well, let me go back to spirit and let me get more evidence. So I'll go back to spirit and I'll say, tell me what I need to know that will put the other person's hand down so I know who I'm supposed to work with. They will tell me evidence that only that person will know. Mm-hmm. And that person will say, for example, oh, you know what? Grandma was the only person that could put the Christmas ornaments on the tree. So you had to hand her the Christmas ornament and then she would put it on the tree. You could not put the ornaments on the tree. That's very, very specific. Mm-hmm. She was articulate about her tree. She didn't want anybody touching her tree or her Christmas ornaments, and they need to be put a certain way, right?
Right.
And that, and the hand went up, and the person that said, well, I took 80%, said, no, can't take that. So now I know who I'm working with. Mm-hmm. So I will continue with a few more pieces of evidence. I also will give the evidence that she's with you currently in your life. So I'll bring a piece of evidence to say, while you're in the kitchen, it must have been 2 or 3 days ago, you dropped a whole bunch of pans, like cooking pans, on the floor, and it cracked one of your tiles on the kitchen floor. She says, oh my God, yes, that happened. Oh my God, your grandmother was in the kitchen with you at that time when this happened. That proves that she's around you, watching you, maybe guiding you, helping you in life, and comforting you to know that she's still around you now, not just in the past, but now. Mm-hmm. And then you bring the healing message of why grandma came. So you want to bring something that is going on in someone's life that's pertinent, going on in their life currently, right? So you want to have grandma say, maybe they're having a difficult time. Grandma will basically say, you know, dear, I know that you're confused. You're wondering whether you're going to have enough money to go to college, but I'm just going to let you know that you are going to have enough money to go to college. Mm-hmm. And you're undecided to which college to go to. It's the one that, you know, you've been thinking about all your life to go to. And stay within your heart, follow your heart and your dreams, and it's going to come true. Trust. She says, I have your back. And that's the healing message. And she'll say, I love you and know I'm still with you. You see, that's, and you have to do this all within, 5 minutes. So it's like,
How do you receive these, spirits input? How do you receive the spirit?
You actually, it's taken me a long time to, in my life, because I've had spirits come and visit me since a child. Yeah. But I was in denial of being a medium. Even though I had a few people tell me I was a medium through my life. And I kept saying, no, that's not, I just don't want to do that. You know, mm-hmm. I resisted this really for a long time. So for many years, I did hair for over 40 years. And now I work professionally full time as a medium. But it took, you know, so long to believe what was happening in my life and to know that it was safe, to know that it was loving, because there's all these fears about communicating with the spirit world, right? Yeah. But my, you know, I was raised Catholic, so I had all those experiences, beautiful experiences, when I was a child. And I knew I was so completely different through most of my life. And I knew that I was different because I had a lot of premonitions and a lot of unexplained experiences that nobody else was experiencing. And so, you know, I started to research it. I started to go to a medium and ask, you know, what's going on. And I started taking classes, even though I could already at times communicate with the spirit world. So the question to your answer is, how do we do that? It's an energy. Their energy comes close and you feel the energy shift in the room. Okay. That's the best way I can describe it. It's also a very loving embracement when it comes in the room. So it kind of shifts. Now as the medium, we work from within. Okay. So our chakras are all connected to the clairs, meaning either clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient, and so on. So we're feeling or interpreting what we are perceiving from the spirit world. And not every medium works the same. We're all completely different, and we all have different skill sets or abilities of how we work.
Okay, yeah. How old were you when you first started experiencing psychic abilities?
Grade school. I mean, I knew when a pop quiz was coming the next day, and like I was just told, like, there's a pop quiz coming, you better study. And sure enough, you sit down and, you know, we're having a pop quiz today, and you're being graded on this of whether you read the book or read the article or whatever, you know, or if you were listening yesterday, you know. I would know when things were going to happen before they happened a lot of the times. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I kind of daydream. So for some of your viewers out there that may have these experiences, I would sometimes daydream and catch myself somewhere else in a slightly trance state, where you're a semi-trance state in a way. And I'd be downloading things. Like I would be, you know, I would be getting things from maybe the teacher, or I would get a sense of, you know, how the rest of the day was going to be. And sometimes, like, I would hear a little voice go, oh, you better pay attention because you're going to be asked a question next, you know, in class. And so you need to tune back in. So I tune back in to where we are, you know, and sure enough, I would be asked, can you come up here and show us how to do this algebra equation on the board, you know? And you're like, oh my God, you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah.
But yeah. I just thought that everybody was like that. Hmm. You know, I think when it constantly happens in your life, you're like, wow. And it gets your attention as to say, why is this happening to me? Mm-hmm. So for most of my life during those years, I was like, why is this happening to me?
Yeah.
Because I knew I wasn't like, you know, other kids in school.
Yeah. I mean, on your website, correct me if I'm wrong, it says that you're a third generation Polish American psychic. Are there other psychics in your family?
Well, I'm sure there probably are in the past, but my mother was very intuitive. She was a very devoted Catholic, but she had some experiences that she would just know from a claircognizance and clairsentience point of view. She would sense and have an inner knowing that something was wrong or something was about to happen, or she didn't feel right about a situation. And she was always right, let me tell you. I mean, 100%. And my dad would say to me, you know, you better listen to your mother because she knows what she's talking about. And I've, you know, I learned the hard way, you know.
Yeah.
So he would support her. And, you know, and, you know, she would say to me, there's a lot of things in life that we think we have figured out, but there's a lot of beautiful miracles and abilities that people have that we are not told about, or maybe we're not, we just don't discuss it enough. That has always, you know, set with me in my life, is to be a little bit more open to different experiences.
Do you believe that everyone has some type of psychic ability, or does it only apply to certain people?
Well, we all have psychic ability. I think between the ages of 4 and 5 years old, we start to, as children, we become, you know, we have the pressures of our parents, our family, our community, of how to act, what colors to choose, what's feminine, what's masculine, what's right, what's wrong, what's expected of you. You know, the child, that's why you'll see that sometimes children are more perceptive to seeing spirits, and they'll say, well, grandma's here. And they haven't even met grandma, or grandpa's here. Well, they haven't even met grandpa. But they could go through a photo album that they've never seen before, and they'll point grandpa right out. They're like, that's grandpa, you know? Yeah. We tend to lose that, I think, psychic ability and communicating with spirit when we have all these pressures and expectations of society. I think everybody is able to communicate with the spirit world at some level. I don't think everybody wants to be the healer and be the medium facilitating the healing from the spirit world to the person in front of you. So you're dealing with people's deep issues, right? Yeah. Serious issues in a lot of cases. I do. I work with different people who are investigating missing persons or murders. And so these are very serious situations, right? And I just want to just tell you that I don't think everybody has the wants or the desire to see all that and to be able to give the healing and work with people on that level. However, I think everyone is psychic. I think everybody is naturally psychic. I feel it's a sense that we get more caught up in our head space and not understanding our heart space and what we're feeling emotionally, or maybe the energy we're feeling when we walk into a room. I think sometimes we don't want to. We think that that's just all woo woo, you know. But we are all energy, and so again, when we're working with energy, there's going to be some people who are very empathic, and they can walk into a room and feel that something does not feel right, or they don't want to be around this crowd of people because for whatever reason it doesn't feel right. They'll leave, and, you know, later on you find out that some of these people might have been arrested, you know, leaving this party. You don't know. I'm just throwing out an example. But I think we all have psychic ability. That's a natural human part of existence. I think that in the last, you know, 100 years, or maybe 80 years, we've been just programmed not to think or feel. We all have to go within our, we always, right now, I think what we're doing is we're looking for sensationalism to stimulate us. And we're on to the next stimulus. You know, it's like we're always up in our head and we're not feeling anything, you see. What we have to do is bring that back into our heart space and start to feel again. And the language coming from your heart is so completely different from your head. You see? Yeah. And I feel humanity is shifting now in a transformation of starting to speak from our heart. And we're, if something doesn't feel right and we're becoming more aware, not only of our own awareness, but for the awareness of ourselves and the planet. And we're more concerned now, I think, than we have been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And likely we should.
Yes.
So you're seeing people that, you know, will be upset if they become selfish and they're living in their own little bubble. And it's only that situation is only, they're only talking about their own experience coming from their own perspective. And they're not including in that perspective about the rest of us. Well, what about the rest of us in the room? You know, how do you think we feel? And you see, there's just a greater awareness of now looking at your fellow man. Like, how does that affect my fellow man? No matter what religion or politics that you belong to, we should be concerned about our planet, our fellow man, how it looks from a collective perspective.
You're listening to 103.7 The Magpie. That was psychic medium Anthony Mikolojewski. If you would like to find out more information about him and his practice, you can visit his website at ashvillemedium.com. Thank you to both of our guests, Alex and Anthony, for giving us a window into their world. And a special thank you to you for listening to The Magpie. Thank you, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Goodbye.